What is this? I've seen one before. Many, many years ago.
This is the Journey of Inception podcast.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Journey of Inception podcast. In this episode, I am talking to Grant Hamilton, also known as Strike One. Grant lives in the Cumbrian town of Barrow. Over the last 12 months, he has gone from strength to strength, performing at some of the biggest and best festivals, both in the UK and abroad.
Hi, Grant. Hope you're well. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Journey of Inception podcast.
There's no problem. Thanks for having me.
So I guess, as I do with all my guests, start from the beginning. So how did you get into DJing, and what's your sort of journey been like up to now?
Yeah, so similar to yourself, I started when I was around 13, 14. So in the town that I'm from, there used to be quite a lot of like DJ and MC crews. It was all hard dance and hard dance music driven. And every group of friends seemed to have like a DJ and an MC, and they used to produce record stuff on Audacity and release it and upload it to Mega Upload and Sendspace and all of these websites. And then when MySpace came along and Bebo and stuff like that, everyone started uploading them to these websites so that friends could download them on the phones. So this is when like Sony Ericsson Walkman phones were like the big thing. So me and my friends, we all used to go and get drunk on the fields, and we used to like Bluetooth each other everyone's favorite songs from these different crews and stuff. And when I was about 14, I started working in a nightclub as a glass collector. And then that's when I really started watching DJs and seeing what they were doing and seeing how they were like controlling the night for everyone. Like they were making the memories for people, if you know what I mean. So yeah. I thought this is what I want to do. I thought it was like magic. It was like you've been able to control people for music. So I was like, right, that's it. My next birthday, I want some turntables and I want to learn how to DJ. So yeah, for my 14th birthday, I think it was, I got a set of Stanton STR8 150s. I've still got them just in the studio, actually. My first ever set of decks. I got a pair of them. I bought a load of second-hand vinyls and a terrible mixer. And I just cracked on from there, tried to teach myself how to DJ. I was absolutely terrible, as we all are when we start. I didn't have a clue about beat matching or anything like that. Yeah. And obviously back then there wasn't really any social media or anything, so you could really concentrate on trying to learn it. So I did, and then as time went on, a few of my friends came out of the woodwork and said he wanted to be MCs. So it was in my loft, which is still where I am now, actually, which is not in the studio. And we used to record our own CDs and then send them out to our friends to listen to, and then they got quite popular. And then eventually, I think it was around the time I turned 16, we did an under-18s night at one of the local clubs, and it turned out pretty well. And that was like the first real gig I had. But then after that, once we left secondary school, all my friends who I was doing it with, we kind of parted ways. So it all just kind of like went aside, and I went to college and then got a job, and it all kind of parked up for a bit, and then I called it a day. And then it wasn't really until maybe about 4 or 5 years ago until I got bit by the bug again, and then that's where I am now.
No, it's really interesting to see how people came about. I mean, I've still actually got I've got some Stanton decks as well, which were my sort of first ones, and they're still in the garage, you know. And it's like you don't want to sell them; you just don't want to get rid of them.
I'll never use them again because I upgraded to a pair of Technics, so they just sat down there collecting dust. But they're just nostalgia, aren't they?
That's it. You just feel like if you part with it, you've just sort of lost, you know, that sentiment about it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right. So obviously, I guess your first event was that under-18s night then, was your sort of first event that you put on. So you've got your own night now up locally with yourself. Is that a regular event, isn't it, up there?
Yeah, we started it back in August last year. What it was, I got approached by a club promoter, a club owner. I got approached by a club owner, and he asked if I wanted to put an event because there was a TV crew coming around and filming some of the local lads. We got told at the time it was for a program called Britain's Best Night Out, but it was actually called Britain's Worst Hangover. and it was to be filmed on Channel 4. So he asked me if I wanted to put an event. And at the time, I was doing quite a bit of stuff anyway. So I got a few of my mates together who also DJ, and I said, yeah. And then, so I threw that for a one-off, and then it went quite well. So we sat down with the owner of the club and said, look, this has gone quite well. Can we make it a regular thing? So we put our heads together, and now we've got a monthly residency there. So, yeah, we're on to our 7th or 8th event coming up on the 21st of this month.
Excellent. That's interesting. So, because as you know, I put my first night on back in February. A local club, which was, you know, it was a really good night. You know, we had fun, and I think it's always interesting to hear how people come about the same sort of thing. I mean, Wolverhampton's quite it's already got quite a few people putting nights on and doing different things, so it's quite difficult to sort of break into. But seeing, you know, it's quite interesting. It's about the network, I guess. That's the big thing for you, is because you had that network with the clubs, that they start talking to you about things.
Yeah, plus the town that I'm from, Barrow in Furness, it's quite a small town as well. It used to be quite popular in terms of nightlife. I think up until 2008, we had the largest nightclub in the northwest of England. It was a floating nightclub. It was once a cruise ship, and it was converted into a nightclub. But then once that left, all the investment in the nightlife seemed to go away. And because we've got quite a large shipyard here, our town's responsible for all of the submarines the UK designs and produces. Yes. So all of the venues that were once pubs and bars, they got taken over by property investors. And what once was pubs is now apartments or hotels. So where we are now, there's only really two or three what you class as nightclubs in the town. And yeah. Lucky for me, at the beginning of last year, the club that I was just talking about, it was a guy who I knew who actually bought it. So I got quite lucky in that. But he knew what I was up to, and I wanted to help him build his club. So I got quite lucky, really.
Yeah. So how do you? Because obviously you DJ at most of your nights. You've got sort of special guests on other nights as well. How do you sort of vary it to keep people interested and keep them coming back?
Well, towards the end of last year, because we only did it in the last 4 months of the year, the first one, like I said, it wasn't branded as our event. It just had my name on it. It was called Strike One and Friends. And then after that, we kind of came up with a name. So the event after that was kind of the launch party. We called the event Elements.
Yeah.
So that was the launch party. And I think the one after that, it was Halloween, so we kind of played on that theme. Put the decor in for the Halloween stuff and like that. The one after that, we invited, it was another local DJ, but he doesn't play very often, and he does play quite a lot in the FIFA. So we billed him as the headliner. So a lot of the people my age and older had already seen him time and time again around the town, but a lot of the younger crowd, the 18 to 21-year-olds, they just saw Ibiza in the name and thought, oh, this guy must be huge.
Yeah.
So we kind of used his influence a bit. And then after that, we had, it was a Christmas gig and then New Year's Eve. So up until the back end of next year, we kind of just riding out the main events of the year, if you will, and playing on that theme.
That's it. That's cool.
This year, we've only had two events this year. We didn't have one in January because January was a dead month. For all of nightlife.
Maybe
we did it as a Valentine's gig, so it was a little bit cheesy, but we tried to play on that. And the one that we've got coming up now, it's on Easter Sunday, so it's a bank holiday. So this is going to be our biggest event yet. We've booked in Endor, who's is quite a prominent name in house and bass driven house.
Yes.
So he's going to play for us. So what we've been doing for this one, we've been utilising a lot of his reach on his network. So when he's been uploading videos of his gigs where he's been playing all over the world, we've been asking him if we can use them and brand them with our logo and say he's coming here on the 21st of April. So we've been trying to utilise his network as much as our own.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a really good way to get, you know, sort of get the name out there and for people to sort of associate properly as well.
you can follow Beat Inception on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Mixcloud and Soundcloud. Just search for Beat Inception.
So I guess we sort of, we obviously met through the DJ Growth Lab and that. But one of the things that obviously drew my attention to you initially was the WKD Be The Face competition last year. That was literally just after I started getting back into DJing. So it was quite rushed and wasn't the best entry, but I actually applied as well. But I listened to your entry and, you know, really enjoyed it and seeing you play at Kendall Corning. So what was that like for you, that sort of winning that competition, and what did you have to go through to win that?
Yeah, so the initial entry, you'll know yourself, I think it was a 20-minute mix, wasn't it? It was a 20-minute mix, half mix. So once I entered that, I found out a couple of weeks later, they actually ran a semi-final and then a final. So I had to travel down to Peterborough for the semi-final and I played at a club called Edwards in Peterborough. Which, because I'm from Cumbria, that's a 6.5 hour
it's a good track.
travel, and it was in the summer when it was roasting 30 degrees driving down there. So I played in there and I was lucky enough to come away with a win then. And then I found out on the night that I won that competition and told me that 2 weeks later I'd be playing in the final, which was in Birmingham. So that was the kind of progress through it. I entered the comp online, found out I played at the semi-final in Peterborough, then I played at the final in Birmingham. And then when I found out I won the final, that's when everything kind of went in a bit of a madness, really. So they invited me to play at Kendall Calling. He told me my set times a couple of weeks later, which was really exciting because I got to open up on the first night I was playing before. There's a huge bassline collective at the moment called Crewcast. I don't know if you heard them, that's Bags and Skepsis, Brucey. So I played before them on the Friday night, and then the Saturday night I got to play before Richie Ahmed and Big Night 4. So that was kind of a bit surreal for me. I'd never attended Kendall Calling before, but that's a Cumbrian festival as well, so it's only an hour away from where I live. So thousands of people from the town that I'm from also travelled there, and when they found out I was playing, they all came to support, so they were all in the crowd for me, so that was pretty cool.
That's really good. It's nice to have.
Yeah, definitely. It was nice to see faces in the crowd.
and you've sort of gone, seeing the footage from that weekend, it looks like an absolutely cracking time. But you've sort of gone from strength to strength now as well. You know, I've seen you won the competition with Crossfader, didn't you, as well, to go to Roy's?
Yeah.
Sort of from the back of that, where's that sort of took you over the last, it's only been a matter of months as well, you know, sort of 6 month period as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, really. I won the competition back in July last year, and where we're at now, just the beginning of April. So yeah, since then I played at Kendall, played the two nights at Kendall, and then he invited me back to play the third night, which was pretty cool. I've played up and down the country, really. I've played in London, Wigan, up in Glasgow. And then, like you say, I entered the Crossfader and Rise Festival competition. I was lucky with that as well. I got to win that, so that sent me to my first ever international gig. That was at Rise Festival in the French Alps. And then I've kind of been working with WKD closely since the competition as well. I've been in contact with a lot of the guys there. So they actually sent me down to the gig in London. I played it was an award ceremony, actually. It was a Republican award, and it was hosted by Al Garth, which was pretty cool. And then I've just got back from Snowbox Festival in Avorias in the French Alps, and that was through the same brand. That was through WKD as well. They sent me there as well.
So I guess that's, you know, you look at competition, you think, oh, you know, it could just, you know, I get to go and play this gig and that's it. But actually, you know, if you keep that, build that relationship and keep that network, actually, it leads to a lot of extra things. It's not just about that one, you know, that one weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I've had quite a lot of back and forth with the guys from Wicked, and you've got to understand that it's mutually beneficial for the both of you. So they're obviously able to utilize my networks as a DJ and push myself out to people like yourself and the rest of the Growth Lab and stuff like that. Use all my socials. I usually tag them in everything that I do, which is through them. But then they can also utilize me. So what they're planning on doing is when they relaunch the competition, they're going to use a lot of the footage from myself at the festivals that I've played for them and say, this is where Grant was here and this is where he is now. This is what the competition can do for you. So it's, you've got to look at it kind of as a mutually beneficial arrangement. And, but like you say, it's all about building the rapport with them and building the networks. You need to let people know that you're a person and you're willing to put the work in and you're not just there for the one gig, you're not just a one shot one day, you're there to consistently perform for them.
Yeah, definitely. So when you, so that's where I'm at the moment, is sort of looking at different competitions to enter and applying for festivals to sort of get a slot this summer. Hopefully I'll get something. So when you put a mix together, everything comes about by putting a mix together. What do you sort of, what do you do to prepare in terms of a mix, putting a mix together? Do you do anything specific or do you just go for it, freestyle it?
If it's for a recorded mix, I usually plan it so I literally know everything inside out. So if I'm entering a competition, for example, you've got to look at the criteria of the competition. So the length of the mix, what genre it is, because it's no good in a next type DJ competition, which is a drum and bass competition if you're a techno DJ. And then when it comes to putting the actual mix together itself, I usually open up Record Box, find some tracks which I think would be suitable, put them in a separate playlist completely. I usually have like maybe 100 tracks in this playlist, and then put them on a USB, usually just skip towards the end to when it's mixing, see what the mixes sound like, and then try and find something that flows well. I usually mix in key. And then once I find that, I like to mix quite fast-paced. People who've seen me live, they'll tell you that I could play a song for 30 seconds and then I could mix out and I could play the next song for the full length or something like that. So what I actually usually do is open up FL Studio, or I mean, you could use this if you're able to use or anything. I usually make my own edits of every track. If there's a track which you really like, but it could have like the intro could be 8 bars too long, I'll just throw it in FL Studio and cut the 8 bars out. Or similarly, if there's a track which has only got an 8 bar intro, put it into your DAW and loop that intro, and then it saves you the hassle of trying to do it whilst you're on the decks. So you can pre-prepare your tracks like that. That's what I do. And then once I've done that, I'll give them a mix again, and I usually mark myself cue points on the Record Box. So I know where I need to mix out from, I know where I need to bring the bass in, and I kind of give myself little time markers, little visual cues, if you will, so that I know exactly what I need to do on this track at this time. And if the next track's got a 16-bar intro, I know I need to mix out here. So it's kind of like absolutely planning it down to the T for a recording mix anyway.
Yeah. That's really interesting. That's really good, that is, because like you say, I always look at the tracks. You know, you sort of go through what sort of tracks are going to fit. You know, I always sort of go back through and look at, you know, the festival, you know, look at who played at the festival like last year and get some of the video footage from last year and see what the sort of vibe is and things. Because like you say, you don't want to put a tech house mix in for a drum and bass festival or anything, you know, in that respect. So that's really good to know, because I think, and especially like you say, it's having those sort of cue points and sort of knowing when, rather than trying to remember for a whole mix, and doing it that way. And how did you, so when it came to when it comes to actually performing it out at the festivals, is it a similar sort of thing for you? You've sort of practiced it in your head and you sort of mapped out the whole thing, or do you just sort of go see how the vibe's going with people on the night?
Yeah, it's more with that. It's more because say I've edited all these tracks that I know, and because I've edited them, I know them inside out. When the percussion's going to come in, I know when the bass is going to come in, the vocals going to come in, and usually by that point, I know the tracks that well. But and I've mixed them that many times together that I kind of know which ones vibe off each other and which one's going to build the crowd and that type of thing. But yeah, it's just a case of reading the crowd and just watching it. And if some people are reacting to a certain type of track, try and kind of ride that wave for a bit, and then maybe introduce a different vibe as more people are coming. So I wouldn't say it's totally off the cuff, because I know that there's a sequence of tracks that I can play together, which is going to go down well for this crowd. And there's another sequence of tracks which I know are going to go together for this crowd. And then I've just got to find my way of getting from that set of tracks to the next set of tracks. And that's where the kind of improvisation comes in.
Yes. Right. Excellent. So so I guess, you know, it's been quite a busy winter. Normally the winter, you know, as DJs, winter's normally where it calms down. You seem to have just been mega busy. What's to come for you this year then? Is there anything else in the pipeline for yourself?
Yeah, so coming up this month, I've got a gig in a local town. I'm doing a takeover. There's a basement nightclub. I'm doing a takeover there. A couple of days after that, it's my Easter event, my own event. And then after that, I am down in Brighton for the Brighton Music Conference. I'm playing at the after party for DJ Growth Lab. And then after that, I can't really confirm anything yet, but there's a few festivals that I've been approached to play. I just need to confirm things. I think the one I can confirm is Kendall Calling again this year. And I'm at Tramlines Festival also, which is in Sheffield. They're the two that I can definitely confirm so far.
Excellent. So it sounds like, you know, things are lining up to be just as good this year as they ended last year. So, no, well done. I guess the last thing, I guess, is where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, so if you want to follow me on social media, on everything, I am at Strike One Music. So that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Mixcloud. If you want to find me, if you want to find my website, that's www.strikeonemusic.co.uk. And if anyone is listening and have got any questions about any DJ competitions or anything like that, just find me an email, which is info@strikeonemusic.co.uk.
Excellent. I'll be one of those people.
No problem. I'm actually in the process of putting together an ebook, which is called How to Win an Online DJ Competition. And I'm pretty much putting everything together, which we've discussed today. I'm kind of putting like a bit of a strategy together. It's like a 7-point strategy of this is what I've done. And like you said earlier, it's not about just winning the competition. It's about utilizing that competition and expanding yourself after that competition. So utilizing that to get more gigs, so increase your social influence and stuff like that. So I'm actually working on that at the moment.
I'm really looking forward to that already. Definitely. That's the sort of thing for people like me that it's just gaining knowledge and gaining experience and just knowing, you know, what have you got to do to sort of get where you want to be, sort of thing. So now you'll definitely have to let me know when that's ready.
I will. Don't worry, I will do.
Super. Well, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And no doubt we'll catch up in the future.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Most definitely, yeah.
You can follow Beat Inception on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Mixcloud, and SoundCloud. Just search for Beat Inception.